Congregation, we'll begin this morning's worship service singing from Psalter 72, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face. My heart and lips their answer speak, thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. We sing 72, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 35 to the end. John 1, beginning at 35. First, we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you John 1, beginning at verse 35. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be from him, be unto you, and grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us try to seek the Lord's countenance in prayer. Lord God Almighty, it is in the beginning of this, thy holy Sabbath day, that we may try to draw near unto thee in prayer. And thou hast spared us in the week past, thou hast given that we could do our labors, thou hast given that we could come up to thy house of prayer. And perhaps there are also who may listen along by the way of the means. Now we beseech thee, O Lord, if thou wilt be in our midst in this day, if thou wilt give a blessing from on high in everything, we are so dependent upon thee in speaking, in laying the needs of the congregation before thee, but also in listening. We need that same Spirit, and may that Spirit then lead us into the truth of thy word. Wilt thou then open our blind soul's eyes, and that we may see who and what we are. Oh, may thy word be used to that end. Would it be a wonder, O Lord, if we came up to thy house of prayer, and that thy word would sink in the heart, that thy word would be as an arrow which comes from thy divine bow, dipped in thy blood, and goes into the heart of the king's enemy, and that we would go home differently as we have come up to thy house of prayer, that we would begin to cry out unto thee, have mercy upon me. What must I do to be saved? That we begin to see our wretched state. That we begin to see that we live outside of thee, and no hope and no expectation. But Lord, that will also give a crying unto thee, a seeking for thee. And that in our lost state, we may also be given to come at thy feet, O blessed Lord Jesus Christ, so necessary for all of us as we came up to thy house, for our children, those little ones, we see them sitting here. O wilt thou not pass them by, but wilt thou work by thy grace in their young lives while they are still little, still young. Perhaps they do not understand so much of the sermon, and still they are not out of the reach from thee. Wilt thou work on that grace in their heart, will keep them also from many sins and going astray from thee. Lord, wilt thou do above praying, above expectation. Oh, we cannot never ask too much of thee. Remember our young people, the children in the congregation, the youth of the congregation. Lord, they also have come up to thy house of prayer, and perhaps they did not come up. But Lord, wilt thou visit them with thy salvation? There is so much what draws them. The world draws them. The religious world draws them. And they all say, here you must be. And they try to draw them away from thy word and from thy truth. But Lord, wilt thou draw them. And when thou begins to draw them, thou art stronger and mightier than all of this world, than all what Satan can do. And Lord, wilt thou remember them. They live also in a world full of confusion. A world when we see around us, a world with lies and darkness, a world which bleeds out a thousand wounds. But Lord, wilt thou then remember them in mercy, give them a heart that fears thee. Oh, by nature, no one of us has that. Oh, that we are born outside of paradise, and we show it also in our deeds, the one may be more than the other, but that enmity that lives so deep in us. And what our children and our youth cannot miss, our older ones cannot miss that either. Fathers and mothers, men and women, Lord, wilt thou work also in their hearts and life. Or when we are young, when we have a rising family, then there is so much what lies upon our shoulders, what needs to be done, what asks our attention, and then we can be so busy with our occupation, and then thy word, we hardly read it, that thy word also, that seeking of thee is so little. Lord, wilt thou bind that one thing needful upon each one's heart and life? Wilt thou remember them in mercy? Also our older ones who have come in the evening of their life, wilt thou remember them too? Oh, then perhaps with the fear in the heart, it is so late already, I have become at such a high age, would it still be possible for me? They are still in the land of the living, still in the days of grace. Lord, wilt thou bind them, the seriousness of life also upon their hearts and life. Lord, wilt thou then use thy word to that end. So thy word in this day, the preaching of thy words, are made at them. Go into the hearts of this one or that one. Yeah, could it be for all of us? Remember also those who came up to thy house of prayer, perhaps with many questions, with many riddles. Then they have seen that state outside of thee is a wretched state. They have seen their sin, their guilt, and they have tried to be reconciled with thee by their own works, by their own prayers, by their own tears. Have tried, to put a compromise with thee. Perhaps I will do this and do that, but they could not pay for their guilt and for their sins. Lord, wilt thou then give them also in this morning, by the preaching of thy words, instruction from above, or we all need it, or that we may be led by thy Spirit to that one, to him who came in the fullness of the time, of whom we also have commemorate in the days past, in the weeks past, who was laid in Bethlehem's manger, who came to save sinners, whose name is Jesus, because he will save his people from all their sins. Or that that name Jesus may receive value in the life of that seeking people. Lord, thou knowest also how thy people came up to thy house of prayer in this morning. Lord, and they have maybe seen a little of that name Jesus. They have rejoiced in that name. But may they also be led further, because we cannot stay in Bethlehem, but wilt thou lead them also to the cross. Wilt thou lead them to that open sepulchre. Lord, that thou remember each one of thy people. Oh, may they receive a token for good. Lord, that thou remember and so thy church all over this world, wherever they may gather together in this day. Will thou extend thy kingdom, or that new ones may be born in Zion, and help also to that end thy servants, all those who may labor in thy vineyard in this day, the elders, the deacons. Remember the evangelists, and remember also the mission field, the work among the Jews and Gentiles. Will thou bless it with thy blessings? It all awaits for thy blessing. And Lord, will thou then so remember this congregation in all the cares, in all the needs. May we lay it before thee. The widows, the widowers, thou knowest the empty place in their hearts and life. Will thou visit them? Will thou give them? Oh, that missing, not only of their loved ones, but that missing of thee, that they may learn to seek thee. Lord, will thou pour balm in their wounded souls? Remember those who have lost children. Lord, thou knowest also how that is and what that means for them. Perhaps in mother's womb, perhaps at a very young age, perhaps older. But Lord, will thou remember them, strengthen and uphold, and will thou go with them also in the unknown future. Remember all those who are lonely, those who have crosses to bear, those who are sick and afflicted. We do not know the congregation, but it is perfectly known unto thee, because there can also be hidden crosses. No one knows about it. Consistory does not know about it. But may they then be given to lay those needs before thee in prayer, because thou knowest all things. Lord, remember so also in the week to come, when the male members hope to meet with each other. And thou knowest also the purpose of the male members meeting, to call a minister, to also to vote for an elder, for a deacon, and that we may lay this congregation before thee, the vacant pulpit, will thou provide for it. As a young congregation, they are only a few months old, but Lord, will thou stretch out thy hands over them, and will thou care for them, will thou lead them, will thou guide them. And what would it be a wonder if also one of thy servants would be sent to the congregation, who may go in and out before them to lead this people in the green pastures of thy words. But Lord, will thou also provide for the office as elder and deacon? Will thou give also in that regard what is needed for, to those who are on the list? Thou knowest also what that means for them. Or will thou give them help and strength? And may the eyes be upon thee, and may they receive a place at thy footstool, than to lay it before thee. Lord, will thou watch over the congregation, and will thou remember so in mercy. Help also in this morning, when thy word is opened and thy word is read already. Or will thou then bring it where we cannot bring it? Will thou open then our unclean lips, and that we may speak well of thee? We may lay also this, the word of this history, what lies before us, in an orderly way, in the midst of the congregation, and that it is experienced thy help and thy nearness. Oh, we need it in speaking. We need it in listening. Will thou not take every hindrance away? We can take so much along also to the church. We can be busy with our work. We can be busy with the concerns of our hearts. Oh, then we can, our minds can wander away. We can be tired. Oh, Lord, will thou then give what we need? Oh, will thou not pass us by? There are many reasons that thou wouldst do that. If thou should mark our iniquity, who would stand before thee? But by thee there is forgiveness. Our Lord, may we then lift up our eyes unto thee. Thou hast never done it because there was something in man, but thou hast always done it because of that eternal good pleasure. Lord, remember them in mercy and help thy servant. Give him the unction from above, and that he may experience also that thou knowest of him, and that he may taste a little what he must handle. Give him clearness in his mind, give clearness in the language, and that this day may be to thy honor and to thy glory. We ask it for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. We will continue with singing of Psalter 115, the four stanzas. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? From Psalter 115, the four stanzas. Dear congregation, we have read a little portion from the Gospel according to John. It is remarkable that John begins his Gospel in eternity. That in eternity he sees where the beginning lies with God. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That in that stillness of eternity, where the Lord has seen, where they have seen how men would fall away from him, where they have seen, where the Lord has seen what would take place, what Satan will do, but where he also has provided a way wherein that fallen mankind could be saved again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There in that stillness of eternity, all things were made by him, and without him there was not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Because that Word that became flesh, we have considered that in the weeks past, wherein we have seen how God has sent his Son, came into the flesh, assumed that human nature, for what? To redeem, to save that fallen mankind, to draw them out of that darkness, and to bring them to that marvelous light. But what is now by nature? We do not have a need of him. By nature we live on as if there is no eternity approaching. Or is it different with you, children? Are there also nights that you cannot sleep? Young people, where were you last night? Where were you also in the weeks past? Also under that Word, did you seek it? Were you saying, tomorrow, it is thy day again. Tomorrow may go up to thy house of prayer. Or may that Word then also be blessed for me. Or do you, or were you, in places where you do not belong? Still that Word comes to you, also in this day. And then I may still direct you, also to him who came in the fullness of time, of the time. Or must it now also be that is true for you? He came to his own, and his own received him not. We say, I have no need of thee. Congregation, may that seriousness of life now be bound upon your heart. And I spoke to the young people, but also how is now with you, older ones? Perhaps have come in the evening of your life. How is it now? Or can you still live on so easily? This morning we hope to see one who could not do that anymore. A man who was in the need of his life. A man who could not go on any longer. A man who became truly a seeker. Let us go to our text. The words of our text for this morning can be found in the portion what is read to you from John 1, and on the text will be the verses 45 through 51, and then I will read only verse 48. It's about the history of Nathanael. We read in verse 48, Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. The theme for this morning is Jesus and Nathanael. Those two met with each other. Children, you can remember that. And you come home and your parents ask you, say, what was the theme for this morning? You say, I know that. Jesus and Nathanael. 3 points. Nathanael brought to Jesus. Secondly, Nathanael meeting Jesus. And in the third place, Nathanael confessing Jesus. So, Jesus and Nathanael. Nathanael brought to Jesus. And we see that in verses 45, 46, how Nathanael came, how he was brought by Philip, brought to Jesus. In the second place, Nathanael coming, meeting Jesus. We see that in verses 47, 48. How he comes there, we read, Jesus saw Nathanael coming, so he came to him, and they met with each other. And in the third place, Nathanael confessing Jesus. The verses 49 and through 51, there we see how he begins to, what Nathanael said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. May the Lord lead us into the truth, in speaking and in listening. Dear congregation, it's a well-known history what lies before us. When we see the history which is written down in John 1, now we see how the Lord began that gracious work here on earth. We see him coming there to Jordan, and there he came to John the Baptist. We all know that. Children, you know that history too. John the Baptist there, he was baptizing, preaching. And what did he preach? He was a very sharp preaching. He was a preacher of the law. Because he says, the axe is on the roots of the tree. Every moment that tree can be hewn down. And where will then be your place? Oh, he preached the judgment coming. He preached, as it were, sharply the law of Moses. He was the one who was promised in the Old Testament. He would prepare the way of him who would suddenly come to his temple. So John was a preparer of the way. And now we see him there, Bethabara. And then he was preaching. And the preaching bear fruit. Congregation, when the law is preached sharp in your midst, do not become angry, but that you also may learn to bow under it. The Lord still comes with his word. It's so necessary that law is also preached. But John did not stay only with that. We also know that he had another preaching. Begins to point out to the way of escape. Because then we see him, that he sees the Lord Jesus coming. And what do we see in his preaching? He says, behold, the Lamb of God. Points to the only Lamb, to the true Lamb of God. And all Israel knew what was meant with it, with the Lamb of God. Because in the Old Testament, how many times do we read about the Lamb who must be slaughtered? And we go to that feast of the Passover. Oh, then the Lamb was needed. We know that. And now John begins to point to the Lamb of God. He says, behold him, look upon him, stand now still for a moment. He is the one who was promised. He is the one who will come and who did come. We do not read that anyone followed the first time. But as we read in the next day, again, he had that same preaching. Behold the Lamb of God. And now we see two of his disciples followed Jesus. And they followed him. And then Christ saw them following. As it were, we see it in our mind. Turns around, says, "What seekest thou?" What a question that is. Is that what question would be asked to you, congregation? So each one personally, what seekest thou? What would you answer? What did these disciples answer? They said, "Where dwellest thou?" What was the desire of their heart? And in that answer, actually, they showed that desire. Where dwellest thou? Where is the place where thou dwellest, that we can be with thee? They sought the communion with him, and that they could stay with him that all day. What a blessing that was for them. When we go further in that chapter, we read also of, in verse 33, how then the following day that Jesus went to go forth into Galilee and find a Philip and said unto him, "Follow me." So now, what do we see? Jesus found Philip. He says, "Follow me." What does that mean, "follow me"? That means, now become one of me. So now you have to follow me. Here we already see what we also have in Isaiah 65. "I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name." So now the Lord begins to seek his own people. And what a wonder that is, congregation, to be sought by him. But where was this Philip? Was under the words. And so, congregation, it's also so necessary that we place ourselves under the means which the Lord has given unto him. What is the place where the Lord usually converts his people? What is that? You say, in God's house. Can the Lord convert his people on the soccer field? Of course. Where what is not possible by the Lord can do that. But what is the common way the Lord works? Under the means. Therefore, young and old, when the means are there, come up under the means. When there is that church service, do not leave your place vacant. When there is a week service, do not leave your place vacant. When there is catechism class, when there is also the opportunity to hear of that word, seek him. That is the way in which the Lord works. And then in that word, what would that be a wonder? If that also what was today. Under that word, "follow me," and then to follow Jesus. So where does the Lord find his people? Under the word. And then becomes a seeking people. And what is now the fruit of that? We can see that in the life of that Philip. Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. There we have it. Philip knew, or there was something was stirred up in his heart and life. So Philip knew also where those were who were also seeking for him. He knew about Nathanael. Or there was a friend of him, you think, of Nathanael, was a man who was also a missing, a one who missed Christ, one who also had been I may assume that also under that preaching of John the Baptist, who was discovered by the Spirit of God, but was with that emptiness in his soul, how can I now ever become one of his? How can I now be converted? Is there such a people also in Cortland still, who have heard the word of God, who have heard the necessity of true conversion, but now has a question in their heart, how can I now ever become true for me? Is it still possible for me? How can I find him? Perhaps who were also in this night wrestling with the Lord. Oh, may there be today, may there be a word for me. May there also be a word that sings in my heart. May there be a little instruction in thy word. May I be directed by thy word to him who came in the fullness of the time. Because they do not know the way. Where does Philip find them, this Nathanael? We know that. We know that from verse 48. Nathanael was there under that fig tree. They say those fig trees, then they could hide themselves under it. And under that fig tree, that was his inner room. It was his place where he was seeking, where he, as it were, he poured out his heart before the Lord. And then we can also make the application again. Do we still have that inner room in our closets where we seek the Lord? Where is that? Children, perhaps in the attic, perhaps in a lonely place, somewhere in the barn, perhaps in your garden. Where is that lonely place? Adam, there are places where you try to pour out your heart before the Lord. Nathanael knew about that. He had that place there under that fig tree. There he was seeking. There he was wrestling with his soul. And how much now have become right with him? Oh, and he missed God. And he could not miss him. We read in Isaiah 26 verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber and shut thy doors about thee. So that is a people that goes in the inner room and also to pour out their hearts before the Lord. A missing people, a seeking people, but at God's time will also become a finding people. And we will see that through today in this history what lies before us. Christ is the one who has longed for a long time already. And now Philip has seen a little of that Christ, because Christ has revealed himself unto this Philip. There comes a desire in the heart of Philip also to bring others to Christ. So a true characteristic of that life of God's people, to bring another to Christ. If the Lord begins to work in your heart, fathers, mothers, then you will see your children differently. Then you see, also my children have a soul. Perhaps you see, you look up to your parents, and you know that my parents are still living for their own account. Oh, then that weight of that soul will be bound upon you. And then comes a desire also to press that upon their hearts. Oh, they must also be converted. But if you now also may know there's a seeking soul, and you may receive something from the Lord, the Lord begins to instruct you what is on the desire of that seek of that soul, also to seek that seeking soul and to direct them, to bring them, as it were, also to Christ. And what would that be a wonder, congregation? Also the preaching of God's word may be used to that end, to bring those seeking souls to where they must be. We see Nathanael sitting there. We see Philip coming. And we see, as it were, his face is beaming. He comes to Nathanael. And he says, Nathanael, I have to tell you something. He says to Nathanael, he says, we have found him. Verse 45, we read that. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophet did write. So it was foretold in the Old Testament. There it was said already that he would come. And they have all have waited for him. Adam was waiting for Christ. Abraham was waiting for him. Moses was waiting for him. He wrote about him. The prophets were waiting for him. Oh, they have longed to see my day. And now we may see that day. He came. Oh, do you hear, as it were, that joy in his voice? And he says, now he is there. Moses has spoken of him. Was it not also what the Lord Jesus Christ himself had said to those two travelers through Emmaus? Oh, then the whole world testifies, the Old Testament testifies of the coming of Christ, all pointed to him. And now they may see. Nathanael may see it. Now Philip may see it. He came. And now he may also testify about that. And Nathanael, how did he react to that? Was he glad to hear that? We do not read that. We see Nathanael, he has his thoughts about that. He has his objections. He says, is that truly? Would he be the Christ? Why was Nathanael now objecting what Philip had said? Philip knew a little of Christ. We know that. We know that from God's word. But we see also that he was still so ignorant. Because what did he say of Christ? He said, we have found Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And therein we see also that he was not let into that secret yet of Christ's nativity. He was not the son of Joseph. Yeah, Joseph was his, what should we say, was his father in a legal way, but was not his real father. Joseph had cared for the Lord Jesus in his youth. Was Joseph still alive at this moment? Many think he was not alive anymore. But he had cared for the Lord Jesus, but was not his father. And Nathanael had been not let into that secret yet. He will learn that. We are sure of that. Nathanael, he begins to think about the words of the Lord Jesus, of the words of Philip. And he says, can there come anything good out of Nazareth? Is there now possible someone coming from Nazareth? When you speak about Christ, would he come out of Nazareth? That cannot be. Perhaps Nathanael was thinking also of what the prophet Micah had said, that the Lord Jesus Christ would come from Bethlehem, from Judea. And do you then think out of Nazareth? It's impossible. So you see, Nathanael had tried to instruct, but Philip had tried to instruct Nathanael, but he was not all the way right what he said. And Nathanael, or we may not blame him, let's not do that. But Nathanael has him. What Philip has to learn so much, and that is now so necessary also for all of us. People of the Lord, how much do we have to learn? Or what is it on the wonder? Is a great prophet and teacher as would lead into those secrets of salvation. Young people, last night when we were here together, we have spoken a little the offices of Christ, and what we have then we have said also so necessary that was that office of a prophet for the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did in that office to instruct an ignorant people. And now this Philip also need that instruction from above, and Nathanael need that instruction. And where do they receive that instruction? At the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because that is where Nathanael was brought. I wonder if he also may come there at that place. What did Nathanael Philip do? He did not begin a discussion with Philip. He could not, probably, but he did not want to do so. He says, now come along with me. Come and see. You will see it. That the Lord Jesus himself is the one who was promised. He will tell you. He will instruct you. And then to come at his feet. People of the Lord, when we must also acknowledge our own ignorance, because how ignorant we are in the way of salvation. I see that people, especially in the beginning of life, doesn't become better either, but in the beginning of life they have so their thoughts about that coming to Jesus. They have their thoughts about Jesus, of the way, but they are so often so wrong in it. And then they do not know the way. How must I know ever come there? And then they have to learn their ignorance. They are so ignorant. Say, Lord, teach me then. In that way, Psalm 25, children, you know that psalm. That becomes so precious to them. O Lord, show me then thy way. Show me thy paths. Teach me then the way. Oh, that I may go that way. Make me willing also to go that way. Oh, I do not know the way. Are there such a people here? Today we meet so many people who know it so well. They have figured it all out. They have read maybe many old fathers. They have read the Puritans. They have read, and now they think they know it. There's a people on earth. They do not know it anymore. And then then they begin to cry to him, teach me, and then to come at his feet. And then we see that here Philip going. Oh, Philip did not begin a discussion, but brought him to Jesus. And what does this Nathanael see? Then he sees something. Or what we read in Isaiah 33, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is far off. So then he may see something what he had never seen before. Then his eyes are also opened for Christ because of that instruction what is given by Christ. And we hope to see that in our second point. Nathanael meeting with Jesus. We read in verse 37, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. So Jesus saw him coming. Jesus saw him already from that stillness of eternity where we began this chapter with, this sermon with. In the beginning of this chapter, John points to that eternity where Christ came. Christ has given himself to a guilty people. And now Christ had also seen that guilty people was given unto him by the Father, and they shall come. And now Jesus sees them coming. He sees this Nathanael coming. Giving unto him by the Father. So he has received him. And now he begins to instruct this Nathanael. What do we see? Jesus began to speak of him. Jesus did not speak to Nathanael at this point, because we read, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, not to him. But he began to speak about that life, what Nathanael had. What do we see also in this? The divinity of Christ. He knew about who he was, who was coming. People of the Lord, so often when you say, the Lord has forgotten me, the Lord has forsaken me, does the Lord still know about me? Comes that fear in the heart, saying the Lord does not know about me, no, does not know about my circumstances. Here we see so clearly the Lord knows. He knows of that, the questions, what lives in the heart. The Lord knows about the riddles. The Lord knows about also that you do not know the way. The Lord saw him coming, Jesus saw him coming, and spoke of him. Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no guile. An Israelite, what must we now think of? Children. How did the name of Israel come to pass? How does it now, when do we read the first time of Israel? You say that he had the Jabbok. That is where Israel, the Jacob was wrestling with the Lord. There, the Lord has revealed unto him that name Israel, given that name Israel to Jacob. Now this history, have you then compared that also a little to that wrestling with Jacob? Would Nathanael not have been wrestling there with the Lord under that fig tree? Do you not think so? Where he was wrestling with the Lord, how must it now have become right in my life? The Lord knew about that. Now he says, an Israelite, a true wrestler, who is wrestling with the Lord. So he sees Nathanael, knows what lives in his heart. He knows what goes through his mind. And then he sees that. He says, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Now you begin to think, was there no guile in Nathanael? Was he not a guilty man? Did he not have sin? That's not what the Lord Jesus is saying here. What is the Lord Jesus saying here to Nathanael? About Nathanael, there is no guile. It is an upright man. He is an honest man. He is made upright before the Lord. Has taken place there under that fig tree. Being made upright. Or by nature, we are not upright. And we try to hide ourselves, perhaps behind a wall. No one may touch us. No way we are. What is living inside? It's a wonder if it doesn't come outside. But that sinfulness of our heart, that we are not upright. But when the Lord begins to make upright, then we begin to confess our guilt. There comes a true confession before the Lord. And the Lord knows about that. We see the opposite in the life of the Pharisees that we see in Luke 18, for example, about that Pharisee stood and prayed thus by himself, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And then we see how he begins to exalt himself. No, that is not what we can find in Nathanael. Oh no, he's not exalting himself. He is, and that is now a true characteristic of God's people. They become so low. Oh, I am the guilty one. No, there's no good in me. But they cannot live without God any longer. We are sinful by nature. But God's people will be revealed to that. They will be discovered, that sinful nature. Therefore, we must always ask for it, if the Lord will do that. In 1 Peter 1, 2, verse 1, we read, that wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and all hypocrisy, and envies, and evil speaking. So, we must come with a true confession from the heart, and not only from the lips. And here we see that in Nathanael. What was the result of that? What was now the result that Nathanael knew, that the Lord knew about him, that brought him so low, that brought him, as it were, in that small place before the Lord, bowing before the Lord? He says unto the Lord, whence knowest thou me? How is it now possible? Dost thou not know about me? We hear almost the same as we read of Ruth, there on the field of Boaz. Then Boaz had spoken to Ruth. And then we see Ruth bowing, and then says, then we read there, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? What does grace do in your life? Make you a great Christian? A big Christian? No. That make you a humble sinner. That make you bowing in the dust before the Lord. And then to become so small, say, Lord, dost thou now knowest of me? Do you know of those times? That can be that you go as a missing one to church. You listen to that word of God. And then you have heard something of those riddles which go on in your soul. Or is it unsolved in your soul? No. But you go home and perhaps you cry. You say, Lord, dost thou knowest of me? Is it now still possible also for me? Oh, that be such a wonder if you may experience the Lord knows about me. Can be that you have that experience also in the church. Can be that you leave the church before you are in the car. Can be gone again. But that wonder that the Lord knows about me that makes you so small before the Lord. Christ knew where he was. He knew where he has been wrestling under that fig tree, because we read that in verse 38, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under that fig tree, I saw thee. So then the eyes of the Lord are always upon his people. We read that so clearly in God's word. We read it so clearly in his history. Oh, that wrestling people is seen by the Lord. And he will bring them at the place where he begins to instruct them. He will to draw them unto himself. And we see that so clearly in his history. He brings them unto himself, to his feet, and then to instruct further. Oh, then Christ knew that. Oh, seeking people, the Lord is not ignorant of you. He knows about you. He watches you. He knows you by your name, because he knew who was coming. He knew who was coming. And is that not a comfort also, what I may bring? When I may bring that word in this day, oh, then I do not know you, congregation, but the Lord knows also the need of what lives here. And then the Lord can also direct the mouth of his servants to speak accordingly to what is needed in the congregation. Last night when we were together with our young people here, now we have spoken of that prophetical office. And Christ as a great prophet, priest and king, and especially here in that prophetical office, he knows what is needed in the midst of the congregation. And that prophetical office is still or when God's servants may go out and then the Lord uses them to instruct and to teach in those secrets of salvation. And therefore, we must always be upon our knees before we go to church, congregation. Do you do that still? That you bend your knees, say, now we may go up to thy house of prayer. Or wilt thou then guide thy servant? Wilt thou guide in the reading service? Wilt thou guide also in the truths of thy word? May there be a word in due season. Oh, that it is fitting also for the situation in which we are. Oh, then there comes that seeking for him. The Lord knows about us. But we must also point them, young and old. The Lord knows also what lives in the heart. Is that a comfort to you? Or is it something what maybe scares you? The Lord knows about me, about what I have done. Maybe my sinful life, maybe in the youth, maybe in the older days. Oh, the Lord knows about what lives in the heart, and that gives me a fear in the heart, because I feel it is not right with me. Oh, may I then also still point to you? Well, it is now still the days of grace, the days in which we may still sit under that word. Then the Lord also says in his word, turn ye, why should you die and not live? Or that word still comes to you, although do not go further in that sinful way. Or that's the way wherein you walk, that is a way which will end in an eternal destruction. And perhaps you say, I'm so far on the way already. For me, there is no way back. So I just continue to walk on that way. And I may still say, do not do that. Although that you may come stand to a standstill. Now you may begin to seek him, because even for the greatest of sinners, those who have brought us so low, they say, will now ever be possible for me? And I may say, yes, the basis of God's word, it is still possible, but do not go forth in that way, but bow down before the Lord. Here we see it. Nathanael coming to the Lord. That fear of the Lord also may be found here in the midst of the congregation, may be found also in your heart, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Do not despise that word of God, but that you may come then as an hopeless sinner at his feet. And then this Nathanael receives also that instruction at his feet. And then what that instruction had done with him, you will see that in our third point. But let us sing first. Psalter 336, stanzas 1 and 2. I have followed truth and justice. Leave me not in deep distress. Be my help and my protection, let the proud no more oppress. As follows, 336, 1 and 2. Jesus and Nathanael. Nathanael brought to Jesus. Nathanael meeting Jesus. Nathanael also confessing Jesus. We hope to see that in our third point. And we read in verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. So what do we see in this confession of Nathanael? He says, first of all, he says, Rabbi. What is the meaning of that word? I think, young and old, you all know what that means. Rabbi, that is master. So that is, thou art a teacher. Thou art the one who can give instruction. So he acknowledges Christ. He stands above him. He looks up against him. He says, thou art the master. Thou art that rabbi. Is a title of honor which was given to those to whom you look up to. So that's what Nathanael sees. Same you see in Mary Magdalene when he was in the garden, and when that word is said to him, when Christ stood behind him, says, Mary, and then she cries it out, Rabbi. So that looking up to him. So what do we see in him in this? He is in need of instruction. Thou art my teacher. Thou art the master. So he looks up to Christ. What a blessed place Nathanael had there. So then we see the need of the prophetical office. He is the promised prophet who would come. He was promised in the Old Testament that he would be that prophet. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, we read, the Lord thy God will rise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, and to him ye shall hearken. So he was that prophet which was promised. Happy people, who is in need of this prophet. He needed him in that prophetical office. So there we have a little of last night, young people, a need of that prophetical office of Christ. Do you have that too, young and old? That remains also in the life of God's people. That doesn't become less, or that people have to learn that, to become more and more ignorant, and to be more and more instructed by Christ himself. The need of the prophetical office. But as he also say, he says, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. What a precious confession does Nathanael make here. He says, thou art the Son of God. So he acknowledges him as the Son of God. We know he has revealed himself often as the Son of Man. So that is pointing more to his human nature. That Son of Man, in that nature in which he had to suffer, to die. But the Son of God, that points more to his divine nature. So therein we see how far Nathanael already could look into it. He saw he is more than only human. So he saw this is the Christ who would come. Would he have understood the full depth of what he was saying? Perhaps not. Perhaps he did not understand that, but the Lord will instruct him also further in this. But what we do now see, for Nathanael it became true of what he had also read in the prophets. Prophet Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given, so he could see him there as the son who was given unto him. Thou art the Son of God. So he began to acknowledge him as Christ. But do we see more in that confession? Then he says also that he is the King of Israel. So he also may see about that kingly office what is given to him. Not only that prophetical office, he's led into that, but also that kingly office. And he may see him as the King of Israel. He is the one who will go before us. He is the one who we may follow. He is the one who will defend us. He is the one which I need. He is the King. What did he see? Much in it. Still, he did not see everything in it. We know that too, because he saw him as the King of Israel. But he would become the King of the whole world, not only for Israel, not only for that people of Israel. No, but he will also be given to the Gentiles. So then he also that kingly office, he will execute that outside of Israel. And what would now wonder, what would then be a wonder, young and old, if he may now belong to that king, if he may become a subject of that king of Israel, what is read here, that King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So Nathanael received insight in the prophetical office and in the kingly office. We do not read that he had insight in that priestly office of Christ. The Lord will lead him also further in that. You may believe that. Or when he had to go along with Christ those 3 years to be with him, to be instructed by him, but also to receive the necessity of that priestly office where Christ would go suffering, to suffer and to die. Or whether he would be nailed to the cross as that only sacrifice, where he would be laid down in that grave, but also would arise the third day. So he had to be instructed more and more, step by step, in an orderly way. Congregation, that we also may so come to God's house to have a need of that instruction. Lord, teach me that. May I know a little of that prophetical office. May I know a little of that kingly office. May I also know a little of that priestly office of Christ. And now he may believe he is the one. This Nathanael may believe that. Thou art him. Oh, then he may see everything in him. Is it not so? Is it not true, people of the Lord? Or when the Lord has opened your eyes for that King of Kings, or when the Lord has opened that first time that it lies outside of you in another, then you may see everything in him. And when the Lord, even if it is perhaps a little, in that it is already such a fullness, and the Lord knows also how to instruct and how much step by step to lead into those secrets of salvation. And we see how the Lord Jesus begins to instruct him further. And we see that in the following verses, where Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Greater things. And what are those greater things? What he will see. And that is what I have tried to say in that priestly office. Thou wilt see how I will go and to be delivered to the Pharisees, to the Jews, to the Gentiles. That I had to suffer, to die. Greater things. But when the Lord begins to instruct, even that smallest things, though it become also already so great, may not despise also those little things, but that we may come there at the right place, at his footstool. It's time to close. But then, at the end of this history, then we say, and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you. So what does the Lord do then? He says his word, Amen, Amen. What I now going to say to you, that is the truth. So I bring forth the truth to you. And it is so sure. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And therein we see also that way of Christ's humiliation and exaltation, that the angels has had a great place in it. We'll not go into that, but the angels were often present. We know that in his birth, when he was in the wilderness, the angels served him. When he was in his suffering, in his resurrection, we will meet with those angels. We'll leave that for now. But may then the Lord teach you also what we read of this, the angels. Must we not think of that letter, what came from heaven to the earth, where Jacob, who was also that wrestler, who has seen that letter, how there was from heaven to the earth, the Lord has opened the way to him, out himself, from himself, so from heaven to the earth. Man by nature want to climb up to God. What we see in when that Tower of Babel was built, then we see how man tried to climb up to God, and that is now our nature. But now that now is revealed unto us. There's a way from God to man. Oh, that Christ himself has opened that way. Lies in another. Other here, such Nathaniels, also in Cortland, who does not know it by themselves, who cannot give themselves a name, who goes through this earth nameless, but need to be instructed by the Lord. And when then the Lord begins to instruct, what we have seen in his morning, oh, that what would be a wonder, and then to bow before him, or that the Lord may teach further in that way. And if you know nothing of it, you must say, I'm a stranger of it, or that we may come also as a hopeless case at his feet, or that we would not continue in the way away from him, but that a true return also may be found in our life, as done the Lord, if you will do this. Oh, that he will convert you as he has converted all his people. If he will draw you, then we will run after him. Amen. Lord, it is in the close of this morning that we may draw nigh unto thee in prayer, to acknowledge thee that thou hast given a moment that we could be in thy house of prayer. Lord, thou hast not given to us that we had to work 7 days, but thou hast given that one day in which we may lay aside all our labors to come up to thy house of prayer, to bow before thee there. And Lord, what would it be a wonder if that word and also may sink in our hearts. Remember so young and old, forgive what was sinful and amiss. Remember also in the furtherance of this day, help in the instructors in teaching catechism class. Remember the students in receiving these instructions. And wilt thou bring us together again in this evening? Wilt thou remember them? So in mercy we ask it for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Close this morning worship service with the singing of Psalter 229, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. 229, stanza 4, advancing still from strength to strength, they onward go where saints have trod, till everyone appears at length in Zion's courts before his God. What follows? 229, 4 through 6.
Thank you.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.